My name is Roger White. We run a 300-acre dairy farm in Franklin area. It's been in the family for 5 generations. I grew up on the farm here, farming with my dad's family. It's always been a family farm. In 2011, we put in a robotic milker system, which really changed a lot of things on our farm, updated to more technological methods of tracking cows and milking cows. That also entailed a host of other improvements that needed to follow, many of which are included in this project, such as more heat to keep the robot area heated in the winter was the first issue. And eventually we came into a need for a larger bulk tank and things like that. And as we kept doing that, we always had in mind how we can do these things efficiently and make things better for the long run. So it entailed a gasification furnace, and then that also led to, we've had a plate cooler for a while for cooling the milk. We have in-floor heating in the robot room. We've got a scroll compressors with the next bulk tank, which saves a lot of money. That also came with a heat recovery system for the Freon to heat water. So on a lot of small things adding up to make a worthwhile difference is what I would say. The farm is operated by my wife, Joan Marie, and I, and our daughter, Marguerite, works here full-time, Margie. And we also have another son, Scott, and his wife, Bethany, live close to us, also helping on the farm after their regular jobs. And Lydia, our daughter, also helps out. So it's kind of a, and then we've also got extended family. You know, when it gets busy on the farm, you need quite a few people, and you can't have that many employees. But we do have connections where we can get help when we need it. Sometimes you need 5, 6 people at a given project. So we do have a pretty good network of friends and family that can give us a hand when we need it. So that's kind of, dairy is our main thing there. We have cows. We do not have any other animals to speak of as far as for profit. No pig, chicken, thing like that.
This week you're recognized by the governor for an energy efficiency award in agriculture. How did you get connected? Were you selected, or what was the process for that?
Yeah, when we started doing the major heating improvements, we worked with Cooperative Extension quite extensively, and on how this all would lay out and things. They had some pretty good ideas in the energy sector of that. And then we actually got connected with Professor Goh at Michigan State, and he had done a lot of energy conservation work on dairy farms, so he gave us some pointers, and that is exactly how they actually entered us in the contest for that, or if you will, or for that award. We worked pretty close with Extension and like I say, Dr. Goh at Michigan State. That's how our project got, what do you want to say, recognized at a higher level.
As far as some of the energy savings you're recouping, do you have any idea on maybe an annual or what the return on investment has been?
Yeah, it's really hard to quantify because our main fuel source for the gasification furnace is wood, firewood, and we were always burning wood in the house. Now we're actually heating the house, the office, the barn, and all the hot waters with that same furnace. So it is using a little more fuel source, if you will, i.e. wood, but it is doing 4 or 5 times the work. We're also in the electrical department. We used to use, first let's go to propane. We used to heat the office with propane, and also the robot room in the bitter cold was heated with an auxiliary propane furnace as well. That has been totally eliminated. So, you know, I would guess you're in the range of 800 to 1,000 on the office heating in a year, and then out in the barn another 300, 400, 500, you know, of propane that is totally gone, because we're just using that furnace for that. But as I'm saying, it's really hard to quantify, you know, in the fuel source for the wood-burning furnace. That's, you know, a matter of labor and what kind of wood you're burning as far as efficiencies there. Electricity is reduced some. Well, we haven't been going very long. The cooler was only installed last year now. This is our first summer with that. And we're noticing that the milk is cooled a lot faster. It is a little bigger compressor. It's 5 horse versus 3 horse, so it does take some more energy and initial runtime, but runtime is reduced by 50%, I would think, compared to our 3 horse. So there are savings. It's really hard to quantify the savings when so many things have changed. You know, with the robot, when we installed the robot, our electricity use would actually go up a little bit because we are running 24/7 then. It's a few smaller pumps. The vacuum pump is 1 horse versus we used to have a 7.5 horse motor running. But this is running on and off 24 hours a day. So with the robot, I would venture to say electricity is even or maybe even a little bit greater. So, you know, it's a lot of trade-offs in that area. You know, I mean, it's not like, and our energy bills have not increased, they've decreased some, but when you get a summer like this and you're cooling milk, you know, that's a lot higher cost than an average summer where you hit 90 degrees only 3 or 4 days, maybe five. So it's really hard to measure. I mean, we've gone over, if you just lay out the electric bill, you can see changes, yes, but all of a sudden you'll see a spike in 1 month. Say it's February, it's bitter cold. Back in 2008, you saw a spike in March because it was cold, you know. And then even with a new system in, you know, 2012 or 13, we had a really cold February, then you'll see a spike there because you're running a lot more things, you know. So overall, yes, I would say there is saving. To quantify it is a bit more of a challenge.
If farmers are wanting to take stock of some of those expenses to cut, what would you advise to them if they're looking at areas of the farm where you might see some, you know, maybe some energy savings or some other areas to improve in?
Mm-hmm. I'm going to focus mostly on the dairy part because that's what we're mostly, you know, we are mainly a dairy farm. The first areas where you can really save money on cooling milk, the first thing I would recommend is a plate cooler. If you haven't got a plate cooler, you need to get one because basically you're going to pump water through the plate cooler and we give ours to the cows to drink after that. So you have tempered water. It's warmed up a little in the winter. And the cows just love to drink that kind of water out of a large trough compared to the small water. Cows want to drink out of an open trough. So the plate cooler, after the initial investment, has no operating cost. You're pumping water to water the cows anyhow. Let's cool the milk with it before we water the cows. That's the first simplest thing I think anybody can do. The next one that really showed on us is a combination of scroll compressors on the refrigerant for cooling the milk. The scroll compressors run really efficient compared to the regular type we used to have, and a heat recovery system to heat your water, preheat your water before the water heater. That's also taking the heat from the Freon, from the refrigerant cooling the milk, and putting it in a tank to heat water ahead of your electric water heater, or gas as the case may be. Those are very simple things to implement. I think they're a little costly at first, but I think those return on investment is rather quick on those. Again, co-op extension is a really good source to get you the return on investment or your electric utility. And actually, the electric utilities have rebates on scroll compressors and heat recovery units and things like that, even the plate cooler. If you're installing new equipment like that, call your electric utility first. They do have rebate programs, which are substantial. So, yep.
Roger, in a time of really low milk prices this last year, what have been some other areas or challenges that you've dealt with or other dairy farmers in your region?
Oh, how can we list them all? It's been a really tough year. We've done a lot of upgrades in the last 5 years and extended ourselves quite well as far as loans and bills, and it's challenging to make ends meet. We have no off-farm income whatsoever, so it is a challenge to get things together. I think what you have to do is run as efficiently as possible. What we've actually done, and, well, you can't tell others what to do, but what we've actually done is we use our numbers from the robot along with a computer program, and now I'm going to have to think of the name. At any rate, Margie is our technological, our daughter, and so she's got an income over feed cost chart on there. And we've been very critically watching that and seeing which cows are not turning a profit or a large enough profit and critically calling some of those cows out. You know, they need to be bred long enough or else, you know, if they're not making you money. And it's kind of sad because a dairy farmer is quite attached to the cows, especially smaller dairy farmers where I'm interacting with the cows. But, you know, it's a time now where if they're not making me money, we've got to do something about it. So we actually have reduced our herd by probably 8% here in the last 6 months. And we've got heifers that will replace them again, but at this time we're actually running with less cows, which is less milk check as well, but you know, you have less costs going in as well. So watch your feed. We balance our ration regularly. If we ever change feed, we have them tested to make sure that we're adding the right amounts of protein and minerals and energy to make this efficient as well as sufficient for the cows. Because, you know, you can't short the cows. people have told me the cows do not know what the price of milk is. You know, you can't expect them to say, well, I'll eat less quality feed and still give you the most milk because I know we're having a hard time. They don't know that. You still have to take care of the cows because when the milk price comes back, you want to be able to produce milk. And if you cheat them now, it's going to be long ways out before you can get them back to where they need to be. So I would just say you got to watch all the corners, you know, do everything as efficiently as you can. Make sure that things are running right. Compressors in the milk house, you know, you're cooling. Again, cooling milk is one of the bigger expenses on a dairy farm. Make sure those compressors are clean, you know, the dust is out of the fins on it. Make sure they're running as efficiently as they can. Make sure the freon level is up. If you sometimes have a tank that's leaking a little bit, you need to make sure that's charged fully or else it's going to run, I would guess, 20 to 30% more runtime, and runtime is electricity. You know, so you got to make sure everything is running as best as it can. I'd say if you've got some cows that are questionable, it might be time for them to have to exit the herd. Then I think that, you know, if people would do that, we could get the control, the supply a little under control if we, you know, efficiently milk the best cows and maybe some others have to just walk out. So.
Well, Roger, thank you so much for sharing more about the farm. Any other plans in store down the road?
You're always exploring more ideas. I mean, we'd like this to go another generation or two anyhow, and you know how they say, I don't want it to go down on my watch, so I'm getting close to the end where I held on for one more generation. It was one of the things we really talked about and considered when we did put the robot in. We have children that are interested in ag. Of course, it's such a small farm, only one of our children could hope to make a living at it. So then, you know, the robot was a large investment for us. But if you want to keep the young generation working and interested and have a viable farm to be handing down, we felt we need to do some technological upgrades and advances. And it really did. The robot is an excellent source of information, and it really helps you manage your cows. When the milk prices are this low, you're always looking for other options. I mean, we already 5, 6, 7 years ago toyed with possibly bottling, processing things, but that's a very, very large step for us. I mean, it's expensive to get into. I mean, it would seem to be that people are really into the local food movement, and possibly you could make, you know, get more of the next generation involved, even if you were to continue by processing your product, be it fluid milk or cheese or ice cream. That's a large step as well, though. We need to talk about that more before we would do it. And just basically, our plans are to make sure that it is a viable farm if the next generation would like to take over. Make sure that it's operational and at least a little bit profitable, which at this time is pretty tough to make go. But, yeah, hopefully things will turn around, maybe even here in the fall or winter, and we can get back to a little bit better where, you know, the work is all there. We do the same things we do, whether milk is $12 a hundred or if it's $18 a hundred. And, you know, the cost, again, yeah, you have to cut costs if you can, but you can only cut so much or else it doesn't work anymore. So it's pretty tough when it's prices as they are. So
I know, I think you mentioned you farm 300 acres. Oh, what's the herd size?
We have one Lily astronaut robot, so our max on cow milking is usually 60 cows, and we like to run at about 55 cows. Overall, we do raise our beef steers as well, our Holstein beef, so we have about 170 cows on the farm at a given time. We raise most of our steers. Our milking herd is usually going to run between 55 and 60. Right now we're at 48, but that's a good number for the robot. If you crowd the robot, you need to push the cows to it. They don't have enough time. The timid cows won't make it. So that's the next thing about expansion. Usually expansion is on a steady growth up curve like that. When you have a robotic milking machine, you need to go from that 55 cow level, and you might probably have to get to about 85 to 100 before you can put another machine in. I mean, after you put the other machine in, you need to make a, you know, it's steps. It's not a gradual angle anymore. So you would have to be able to put in the next robot and then bounce up by 30 cows to make it even work, and you should go up by about 40, 45. So those are challenges that come with that type of system that we have. You know, it's not like we can say, okay, well, now price of milk is back, let's milk 75 cows. That doesn't work. You need another machine, and then you need to be at probably 90 to make it go, if not 100.
And any other last comments to wrap us up with?
Well, we've done a lot of different things here. I mean, it's a very small farm. There are a lot of things I think that other farms could take from it if they would want to come see it. We are always available. I mean, you can give us a call or come visit us. We have a very open farm as far as tourists and things. We do tours in the summer. All year we do tours for people. We're really close to Franklin, so it's a tourist industry. We do farm tours in the fall. We actually have a corn maze to entertain. We teach people about agriculture when we're doing that. It's all some educational games in there, along with a lot of fun that's mixed in. That runs from September through October. And then, since we were one of the earlier robots, and I would say that we've hosted anywhere from 5,000 to 6,000 people in the last 5 years easily just to see the farm and the robot milking. Now they're a lot more prevalent than they were then. But at that time, there was only about 5 farms in Michigan that had a Lely robot in them. So it was pretty interesting. We have a visitor center that shows the history of the farm through the generations and things like that. So, yeah, if somebody wants to see what we've done, I would definitely be willing to show them and talk to them if they want to come visit. And I suppose Joe and Marie could give you more information on contact stuff if you want to put that.